20 minutes now before 10 o'clock here on WPHM on a Friday morning. Folks in Marine City have noticed that they're not having as many visitors in their community from Sombra, Ontario, as they did before the Blue Water Ferry broke down earlier this year in January because of the ice jams in the St. Clair River. Congressman Paul Mitchell is calling on Canada to help out, and he joins us right now. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So you wrote a letter this week. Tell us a little bit about what you're calling on Canada to do to help.
Well, it's a follow-up letter to a call I had with the ambassador to the United States and Canada a couple of days after events there, when we had some initial indication of the damage. I called him and spoke quite a while about the need to for the Canadian government to interact real quickly to fix that, to help fix that causeway in that dock there. Hadn't seen anything move forward on that. I'd spoken with the member of parliament from there as well. She's frustrated that nothing seems to come to fruition, so I decided to follow up a formal letter and basically say, hey, guys, we have a problem here. What are we doing? It's the only border crossing 50 miles either direction. It has a huge economic impact on Marine City and in Canada as well.
Yeah, it's and the folks in Marine City are concerned because they do rely on those visitors from Sombra, don't they?
No, they do. They rely on it. It's even more important this summer. Summer's coming up. And one of the problems that exists, even above helping finance the cost, is about $2.8 million is the current estimate to repair that. The belief is that it was caused by the Canadian icebreaker coming down and just, you know, breaking up the ice and pushing it out of the dock and tearing it out. But it's a significant economic impact, and it's just a summer. And one of the concerns are, believe it or not, environmental laws in Canada, as of at the end of March, theoretically, they preclude doing anything to put in culverts or any of that type of thing to repair that until the end of summer. I mean, we have a significant problem on our hands.
So what's next? If Canada still refuses to reply to this letter, if you still don't hear anything, what are the next steps that can be taken?
Well, I'm in a quandary at that point in time, since generally the United States doesn't build infrastructure in Canada. We have challenges in the United States. I don't think we could turn the cannons around and face Canada and say, fix the causeway or we fire them.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think we have to use public pressure. I don't know what level of it's $2.8 or $3 million. Of all the ways Canada is spending money, why can't they help fix something they broke? So my intent is to follow up with the personal call to the ambassador next week. I'll be back in D.C. Call him up if need be, wander by, visit for a few minutes and say, hey, what are we going to do about this? We're happy to help what we can, but we certainly can't finance Canada's problems. I mean, I've never known it being done before, and I certainly don't see it happening here. So it's really a matter of getting Canada to understand that this is a priority for their community and ours.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, while we've got you, I want to ask you about the tariffs that President Trump signed yesterday, ordering tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. A lot of Republicans in Congress do not go along with this plan. They don't like it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I signed the letter that Chairman Brady drafted to the president. I was one of the 107 Republicans that signed it. I think we do have a problem with dumping of steel here, primarily from China. And the comments I've made to folks at the White House is, if you're going to make an impression and get the message across, pick your biggest problem, you know, smack him with a stick and say, hey, play nice or we have a problem. Rather than a broader scale kind of shotgun approach, which doesn't necessarily treat all the problems effectively or the biggest problem evenly. So I think targeted tariffs on the most egregious offenders of fair trade with the United States are necessary to get us back to a position that we can, in fact, have fair trade. We've evolved from that for a lot of reasons. I think, you know, putting some pressure on Canada and Mexico, let's finish updating of NAFTA, is a fair way to approach it. I'm not sure approaching it in the front of, you know, gunfire there, but the problem is that broad-scale tariffs are, in my opinion, not the way to solve our trade problems. We've got to target our biggest issues. And we have some, let's be honest.
What do you think the result of yesterday's action by the president is going to be?
Well, you know, there's two parts. One is the public impression of it, and the other is how it's enforced. If you know what the president said, that he's going to be very flexible in terms of the enforcement of it. So that's the next step, which is, okay, now we have this in place, guys. We've made an exemption for Canada and Mexico. We want to get NAFTA done. We said if you folks want to work with us to make sure this is fair, we'll kind of take people out of that hopper. Eventually what happens is the pressure comes down really heavily on those countries that don't want to resolve what's a trade problem. And again, I'll stress, we do have countries that are dumping steel and aluminum in the United States. There's absolutely no question about it. I would prefer we simply target the worst offenders and make an example of them. And nothing wrong with a little example in the world to say, hey, we still expect people to play nice.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for calling in this morning.
Hey, you have a good day. Good
talking
to you.
Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Bye-bye.